Welcome. Don't adjust your dial. Welcome everyone to the Lo-Fi Poli-Sci Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Pickering. That's right. Lo-Fi's and low fidelity, low quality, in your face, messy as can be, global news show. Here we're going to talk about our famous question, what's going on in the world today? And we're going throwback old school lo-fi poli-sci style, getting you that lo-fi global all fast track like. To the news, fresh off that press, updates in the African country of Guinea. That was one of the five military coups that took place last year. Well, the military junta, aka the government that overthrew the other government, has just announced that they will transfer power back to an elected government. And wait for it. In 3 years and 3 months. Yep. Apparently, that's how long it's going to take to do whatever the military wants to do. 3 years and 3 months. On a positive note, the military did say that none of them are allowed to run for public office in those elections. Though we'll see if that holds true in 3 years and 3 months from now. We'll let you know. Next up, to the African country of Sudan and the Darfur region. And look, I'm going to be kind of brief with this one, because in many ways we are still trying to figure out just what exactly is going on and to what extent it's going to develop into. But to provide some reference for the severity of the situation, many of us are aware of the Darfur genocide that took place and started in 2003 during the end of the Second Sudanese Civil War. The extent of that genocide, well, for those who aren't aware of it, I'll just say, depending on how you look at it, and how you look at everything in the world that's happened over the past 20, 22 years, including what's going on today, the Darfur genocide could very well be argued the greatest loss of human life in the new millennium. And the violence is coming back in the region today, in a big kind of way. Eyes open, Lo-Fi listeners, and you let us know if you hear something first. Now, switching gears on over to the United States, but also in Rwanda, we've talked a good deal about how Paul Rusesabagina was abducted in the country of Dubai and was taken by plane to Rwanda and faced many different charges and was convicted by the government and sentenced to 25 years in prison. You know our thoughts on that. But what's new is that his family in the United States has filed a $400 million lawsuit against the government of Rwanda. You see how this works? Paul Rusesabagina is a U.S. resident, and his family is claiming that the Rwandan government abducted him and tortured him. And because they're U.S. residents, they can use the U.S. court system to try and do something about it. And look, this is pretty innovative of an idea to try and get the U.S. government involved, because really, the U.S. has not been doing much of anything at all about this situation. So keep your eyes open for an update here from the U.S. government, as well as from the Rwandan government, because they haven't said anything about this just yet either. All right. Let's slide down on south to South America, to the country of Ecuador, where the president has taken a page out of El Salvador's playbook, and he's called a state of emergency. Though not in the entire country like was done in El Salvador, nope. Three provinces in western coastal Ecuador are now under a state of emergency with curfews from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., and an additional 3,000 police officers and 5,000 soldiers from the military are being sent there. 8,000 police and soldiers. This is significant, people. And the reason is similar to El Salvador. You see, recently in Ecuador, murder rates have been increasing a lot, and the violent crime rates are going up, and the president has said enough is enough. And we'll be definitely keeping a close eye on this one to see how it develops in comparison to what's going on in El Salvador. And a last piece of news to send you on your way for the day. Yesterday was May Day. Yesterday was International Workers' Day. Two originally separate things that now much of the world has put into one. May Day originally was about the coming of summer, the changing of the seasons from cold to warm to growth and greenery in the world. And International Workers' Day? Well, if you can't tell by the name, it's all about the ordinary people of the world, the workers, the people who truly keep this planet turning. It's about workers' rights and human rights. It's about who we are and who we want to become and how we treat each other. Do a quick search to see how your favorite countries out there celebrated May Day or International Workers' Day, peeps. You may be surprised in what you find. And it's a brief snapshot of what's going on in the world today. Check out lofipolisci.com, the music, the episodes, the blogs, the letters, the art. Add us on all the socials, people. And it's not a cliche or a catchphrase. It's a lifestyle. Always remember that Lo-Fi Poli-Sci is more than just me. It's the we that we be. Talk to you soon, Lo-Fi listeners. Pickering, signing off.